Hello, everyone, and welcome to Strong Mind, Strong Body. Today, we are going to talk about redefining success. I think if we were to say to, 50 people, what's your definition of success? Everyone would probably have their own very unique definition. For some people, it's based on how much money they make. For some people, it's based on joy. But today's podcast, I want to focus on what is or how do we redefine success? I want to challenge conventional notions of success. And I would urge you to break free from that relentless pursuit of having more, bigger, better, and more. And today I have a very special guest, Erica Biddix. She is an entrepreneur, a business coach, and the founder of Ought. And she's going to talk about the transformative power of embracing a very personalized definition of success, one that aligns with your values and the needs of your business and the well-being of your family. Because in the end, that bridge between family and business is such a powerful one. And if both are in a good place, that's what I define success. So I'm going to bring Erica in and have her introduce herself. Welcome, Erica.
Hey, Angie, it's great to see you. How are you doing?
I am doing great. It's so good to see you too. Thanks. So first I want to tell the listeners how I met you.
Yeah.
So I went to the Permission Slip Conference in November in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I've had several of the speakers at the Permission Slip Conference on my podcast because I was so impressed with the work that they do. And Erica was one of the co-founders of the Permission Slip Conference. And her story really spoke to me, her story of success and her story of how she came to redefine it. And I thought, what a great topic for all of us on Strong Mind, Strong Body, because as entrepreneurs, I feel like we're always redefining that. So Erica, welcome, welcome. Why don't you give us a little definition of what you do?
Of what I do. So I am by trade a 20 plus year meeting planner. That's what I did pretty immediately after college. And then I just kept doing it for decades. And then some more decades after that. So I went out on my own in 2016. That was the start of my entrepreneurial journey, was opening my own meeting and event planning agency. And I had modest success by most standard definitions. I was able to pay myself a wage that was higher than what I was making when I was traditionally employed. I had, clients that appear on the, Forbes 500 list pretty regularly, everyone in the tech industry, but I just wasn't feeling like I was doing what I was supposed to, but I was following the path of success that had been taught to me, my whole life. I went to college. I did well in college. I got a job. I did better at the job. I got a promotion, I made more money, et cetera, took on, my own agency, got clients, got new clients, et cetera. So I was always moving towards success. And during that time, a few years in, I decided to open a company to offer co-working initially for female entrepreneurs. I was working out of my house for several years and I was just lonely, not knowing, we were in a relatively new town for us. So I opened what was then known as Girl Boss offices 3 months before the pandemic hit. I opened it December 1st, 2019. So when the pandemic hit, both of my businesses took a tremendous hit. I lost everything for my event and meeting agency literally overnight. And then we were also unable to be in person in the co-working space that I had just opened. So all of that said, and it was obviously terrible for a variety of reasons, but the silver lining was that we recognized that what Girl Boss Offices was as co-working was not what the world needed. What they needed was Ought as a community for female entrepreneurs. And in that journey of redefining Ought and who we were serving and how we were doing it really helped me to see that maybe the success that I was having at Biddix meetings was not the success that I wanted, that just because it's what others thought was successful, it wasn't doing anything to fill my cup. It wasn't doing anything to support my family other than financially. And I've really spent the last few years on a pretty solid path towards defining success for myself and helping others do the same.
Wow. You know, first of all, I just want to say, I really appreciate you sharing that story because I think that that's such a powerful story and in your own pursuit of success. And really what I heard you say is you checked all the boxes. Yeah. You did what we all do. You said, somebody said you should go to college. Then they said you should get a job. And then if you keep making more money and you keep increasing your role and then all of a sudden you're successful by what society says. And then I think sometimes we wake up and we go, okay, but is that actually my definition of success? Is this filling my bucket? And is this, you know, how is this affecting my family and the way that I want to navigate the world? And how much is joy and how much of it is I'm checking the boxes. But also just hearing you talk about the girl boss offices and then going through that pandemic experience of having found your success and then having see it kind of go up in flames. And then
mountain flames, more like it, Angie.
right. It ignited.
Yeah.
But it what it did was it did what the pandemic did for a lot of us. It propelled us to look at life through a different lens. And
absolutely,
you picked up the pieces and said, okay, that's great what society says, and it worked for a while until it doesn't. And now I need to make it work differently. So I applaud you for sharing that because I think that's a great lead in for not just your success as a business person and an entrepreneur, but how success comes in all shapes and forms, meaning success often means a lot of things going up in flames and then having to reboot and restart and being able to do that, right? Being able to pick ourselves up off the ground, like we're laying there bleeding and feeling like we've just been, you know, seeing the worst of times and picking back up.
Well, and so kind of the next piece of that story is towards the end of the pandemic, my meeting and events business, which I thought I had left, you know, had left for dead. We had a new piece of business that came along and almost overnight took us to a multi seven-figure business. I had always been a one-woman show. I was always making enough to pay my salary and with the intent to never bring on extra employees or grow the business past what I was doing. And it happened so suddenly that there was no preparation for it. The infrastructure was not there to support it. And so if anyone looked at the bank account and they knew what we were doing, they were like, go you. All right. But at the end of it, I wasn't sleeping. I was not focusing on aught as a business. It was keeping me away from focusing on my purpose-driven business. It was taking me away from my kids, which was the reason I had started the business. So the success that came out of, you know, kind of the flames, as we talked about, actually then resulted in another complete and total crash and burn. And I have since exited that business and have probably left a good deal of money on the table. But in redefining success for myself and knowing that it wasn't just financially driven, there was an ability to lean in on my values and my North Star of purpose. And that's how I was able to make that hard decision to leave behind what everybody else saw as super successful.
Isn't that interesting? And I'm glad you shared the second piece of that because I do think that, and at the Permission Subconference, even I heard several of the speakers talk about how they had left money on the table and left what everyone else would define as successful businesses, because ultimately what it led to was their own personal demise almost. Just this emotional kind of, I guess in the end, a catharsis of saying, yeah, I'd rather leave money on the table than leave my blood, sweat, and tears and the, you know, deprive my family of the whole me. And so, and deprive you of the whole you.
Well, and I want to be clear, like blood, sweat, and tears is part of business ownership. And I think anyone who doesn't say that isn't telling the truth. Right. But there is a limit for every individual person. I can't tell you what your limit is. You can't tell me what mine was. I just knew I had hit it. And I knew that if I continued trying to do what was in front of me, that I wasn't going to survive it. And I don't say that to be overly dramatic. I just knew that things in my family would not survive. It's extremely stressful on a marriage. It's stressful with your kids. It was stressful to me on my own. And I didn't want to be who I was being when I was experiencing that success. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I guess there's some people who maybe are having that level of success and are putting a whole bunch of money in their bank account. But the reality is, for most of us, even when our business has revenue of that size, we're not like shoving money in the bank. Like, it shows our revenue's great, right? But you're generally working just harder for probably the same amount of money at the end of the day, once you pay everybody it takes to keep a business of that size running. So it's really important to me to be super transparent and honest about that experience, because I think, A, there are women who are experiencing entrepreneurship and sometimes thinking, am I the only one? Like, what am I doing wrong? Because it looks so easy for everybody else. And also people who see entrepreneurship as an opportunity. I want it. Like, I want everybody to be out there doing their own thing, but I want them to understand what it is that they're getting into also, because I think Instagram is telling them that it's real easy to print money if you're an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think that there was, I read a really good article recently on one of the most infamous female entrepreneurs. And I don't even want to say the name of the situation, because it's almost like everybody has a loaded idea of what that person did and how she went through it. But there was a whole conference devoted to what female entrepreneurs especially are going through and the highs and lows of that experience. And also, to your point, the narrative surrounding be your own boss, be your own boss, but that can sometimes come at a cost. And so I want to ask you, Erica, then, what do you think are, and I kind of feel like you've covered a lot of it, but some of the common misconceptions about success in society today and how they do affect our well-being. And I kind of feel like you've covered that a bit. And some of that is just the misconception of what social media says versus the reality. But would you have anything else you'd want to share to listeners, male or female?
Yeah, absolutely. And apologies. I tend to talk in female, and because that's the segment that I work in. So I tend to use a lot of female pronouns and whatnot. But I have told people for a long time that, and I think the pandemic helped me to better be able to articulate this, that I can empathize with someone else. I can sympathize with their situation, but I've never lived their life. So I don't have a true, there's no ability for me to have an absolutely true understanding of why they are thinking a certain way that they're thinking, or why they have a certain belief system that they have, or why they're defining success for themselves, however it is that they're defining success. So a great, easy example of this is when women are told self-care, like you need to do self-care. And so somebody will make a post on Instagram and say, make sure you do self-care, even if it's just a shower, right? Yeah. And then the comment section will fill with, a shower is not self-care, a shower is not self-care. And then the argument becomes, is a shower self-care or is a shower not self-care? Guess who gets to decide if a shower is self-care? Whoever that person is that needs the self-care, right? We don't know what her experience is. Maybe a shower really is self-care for her. Maybe for her, it is something she gets to do every day without kids knocking on the door. So that's not considered self-care. So I use that as a really simple example to show that our definitions are so inherent to who we are as individuals that nobody else can tell us what they are. So you really have to take the opportunity to say, I'm the one in charge of what my definition of success is. And then that's the definition you need to work towards, because that's how you will be happy in however it is that you define that. That's how you're going to be joyful in however it is that you define that. That's how you're going to know what financial goals that you have specific to you, specific to your business, specific to your family. So I talk a lot, and I've got those little, got some stuff up there. I talk a lot about you as a human, your business as a separate funnel, and your family, however you define family, as a completely separate funnel. They work together, but you have to look at those as individual areas when you're defining things as well, because your business owner hat and experience is different than your human hat, or your maybe your mom hat, or maybe your spouse hat.
I agree. You know, and I want to pause for a minute because I'd like to invite every single person listening right now to consider that. Maybe just take a pause, pull over on the side of the road or wherever you're at, pause the treadmill, and maybe just ask yourself, what is your definition of success? And then step back, walk it back again, and ask yourself, how much is that definition defined by what other people have told you, by what society has told you, or your parents have told you, or, you know, your definition of success versus the definition of your best friend or your partner, and maybe just come to terms with that. What is that? And what does that really look like for you? And if you were to peel away all the layers, again, how much of it is aligned with your own personal core values and what you really truly want versus information coming in? And so I just wanted to invite listeners to kind of sit with that for a minute, because I do think it's a powerful question. And I've had to redefine it over and over again throughout the years. So, and then before we move on, I want to reintroduce you. So my name is Angie. This is Strong Mind, Strong Body. I'm talking to Erica Biddix, and we're talking about Beyond the Balance, how to redefine our definition of success. And I thought Erica was a perfect person for this topic because she's an entrepreneur, she's a business coach, and she's the founder of Ought. And she's had some very powerful stories about why and how she's had to redefine success. So Erica, I want to come back to you and kind of pick that up a minute. And I think that's good. And I think also what I really heard was values. And our values come from a lot of places. They come from experiences and stories that we hear from our family and our friends. But I also think that our values shift and navigate as we go through different life experiences. Our core values are very much the same, but how we play those out in life. Like, I no longer have small kids at home. I have big kids. And so how I can navigate my time is different. So that's going to tie into my value system and how I value my time. So would you agree that values kind of shift a little bit as we go through life and, you know?
Yeah. I'm not well versed enough in what I'm not a values expert. What I do know, though, is that the season that you're in, which can either be 24 hours, it can be a week long season, it can be a month. At my house, we live in semesters because we've got kids in school and my husband's a professor. So there are seasons in which your definition for various things can change. And so when we talk about and when we teach how to create your individual definition of success, we tell the women that we work with, this is what it is today, but because you're the boss of you, this may be different for you next month. This may be different for you in the summertime. This may be different for you during spring break or if a pandemic happens, right? So I do think a lot of what people are taught is beginning of the year, you make your plan, your year is going to be this, et cetera. And I think sometimes holding on to that calendar like that, as opposed to thinking about it and how your life is defined season-wise, is difficult. So I think if you always are giving yourself that ability to make the change that needs to be made, and whether that's in the definition or in how you're working towards it, you're going to be better off.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it, because you're so right. Like, it's almost like a fiscal year. People think in terms of fiscal year in businesses, or like you said, the beginning of the year, I need to have my yearly plan laid out. But gosh, that's an ideal world. And I don't know about you, but I don't live in one. And so that's assuming that the plan that I think is going to be is actually going to stay that way. And I'm pretty sure it's not, because life changes on a dime and people get sick and there's different responsibilities that we come across that we were not anticipating. And so to your point, maybe your definition of success for a period of time is taking care of a sick family member, or your definition of success is growing your business because you're not having to take care of someone else. And so I think that word permission is powerful, because we have to give ourselves permission to readjust our definitions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my husband and I were talking last night. He had a trip planned to Scotland for a work opportunity for this summer. And the same week, my youngest son is going to Boy Scout camp. And he was weighing back and forth the reasons he wanted to go on this trip abroad versus how it was going to impact his work. And then he was weighing that against how he felt as a dad. And that particular situation, he was able to see the opportunity to go abroad for the week through a completely different lens. When he put that in this silo, so he's not a business owner, but when he put it in his job silo or his business silo, and then when he looked at it over here in his family silo, and he kept them separate, but then he was able to use those as a lens to look through together. And he came to a conclusion that he was really very comfortable with. And if he had to talk that out with anybody, he could easily do that. He was having the conversation with himself. He had it with me, but he could explain that very clearly now to anyone else because he used those different silos and lenses to review it.
So I kind of hear you say one of the ways to do it is to silo them, is to understand or respect that your family silo is separate, your business silo is separate, and then to weigh out, well, this would be the pros and cons in this silo, this would be the pros and cons in this silo, and then to kind of bring them together, if you will, and decide which one makes more sense per individual scenario.
I think what happens a lot of times is as an entrepreneur, we are, when we're making decisions, we're not making them solely for our business because we are humans, right? So we're bringing our own biases of how our decision is going to impact our life as we're doing that. So if we recognize that the decision we're making will impact our life, but we put our life aside and we look at it solely as a business owner, wherein your decisions should be made for the health of your business, right? It's not about how it's impacting your family in that moment. It's not about how it's impacting you individually. You really have to look at it solely as a business owner. And then you step out of that and you say, now I'm going to look at this solely as how this situation impacts me. And then I'm going to look at solely how this is going to impact my family. It's going to give you a much more 360 holistic view of how you can make a decision that honors your business so that you're in that decision-making process, you're doing what's best for your business. But also it gives you that opportunity to say, okay, but then over here, what change do I need to make that's going to honor me as an individual? Or what change do I need to make over here that's going to honor my family? Because a great example is finances, right? So what you need to make for your family or what you need to be bringing home for you as an individual is very different than the money that you need to be making for your company, because your company has other expenses other than just the wage that you're bringing home. Yeah. So if you're making all of your company's financial decisions based solely on the amount of money you're trying to bring home, that's not apples to apples, right? So when you think about finances, if you keep them in those silos, that becomes very different too. Someone who is maybe not married, but considers their family, the community that they are with all the time, right? Like friends, they just do everything together, right? So maybe their financial situation for themselves is they need this much to pay their rent, whatever, but they also are supportive of maybe someone in their community group who's going through an adoption. So then that's an additional financial piece. That none of that has anything to do with the finances of their business. Right. So I just think when you keep it separate like that, you can have a clearer understanding of the decisions you're making while also seeing how they impact each other easier.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And actually, I've never heard it explained that way. And really what I hear is a lot of self-awareness internally, self-awareness about your family, self-awareness about your business. And then I think also just go back to the permission word, know that every opportunity does have some cost on some level. And so it's that kind of cost benefit ratio of where you're going to weigh this out. And so maybe if your husband decided to do Scotland this time, then the next time he goes to make that decision, he might choose Boy Scout camp and kind of weigh out, there will be more opportunities here or there'll be more opportunities here. And so I think that's a big part of it too. You know, when I think about everything you've said, Erica, when in this whole kind of weighing out and putting things in silos, when you're working with your community, I know you work predominantly with women, but there's nothing that I've heard today that wouldn't apply to men.
Oh, it applies to everybody. Yeah. Right. For sure.
So what's an exercise that you go through with people? That's one of them, to put things in silos. Is there anything else that you go through with people to help them really define their values, define success, and work with them one-on-one to get them out of this, oh my gosh, I'm not where I want to be and I don't know how to get there. I'm uncomfortable and I don't know what to do.
Yeah. So we do offer coaching as part of our offerings. We actually have a 4-day intensive coming up at the end of April, and prices for that go up on Friday. So if you're interested, let us get you in at the lower rate. But we spend a day of that 4 days on what we call the OTT model of success. And that is actually building their individual model of success so that they have that definition. We do it in workshops in 90 minutes. We kind of do a flyover, but this is 8 hours of we're diving in deep. We're asking questions. And the way we do that, and I'm going to make the letter A for you. Actually, I guess there's one right there that you can see. But one side of the A is aspirations. And those are our goals. Those are what we're working towards. And we create those in the three silos of you, your business, and your family. And then on the other side are our boundaries. And we do the same thing. We create those in the silos for you, your business, and your family. And the idea, as I point to this A, point to this A right here, is that little spot in between there, between the aspirations and the boundaries, that's where life is happening. And we want that piece of life to be supported. We know historically that I would just say, generally speaking, Americans, in the experience that we have had over the last few generations, has turned into our life supporting our work. And that is a trap that I was in for many years. Most of the people I know who have been traditionally employed are in the same trap. You get home and you rush through putting your kids to bed just so you can get back to work, right? We believe that utilizing the OTT model of success allows women specifically to build and lead companies that are supporting the lives that they want to live. So we use all of these guardrails, the aspirations and the boundaries, and we use that kind of line in the middle to say, let's keep our work and our businesses down here so that it's supporting the lives that we want to be living. And honestly, if you're someone who loves what you do and you want to be someone who works a lot and you want work to be super important to you, good. That's your personal definition, right? It's the same reason I personally would not judge someone who, you know, is getting fire on Instagram because they've got a nanny. Like, you'll see, why do you have kids if you have a nanny? You don't know her situation. Like, you don't know what background she comes from. You don't know why maybe something that a nanny is required for is important to her. So that's why I cannot use the phrase personal definition enough, because we all are bringing our own lives into this. You know, we come into this world on our own, and eventually that's kind of how it happens. It's the in-between part that we have the opportunity to build and define for ourselves.
I'm really glad you shared the model, because, you know, I appreciate that you're offering people to come into your coaching, but I also love that you're giving them some real key takeaways. And I know you shared that at the conference, and the aspirations are one side, the boundaries are another side, and then the in-between is life. And so, you know, what can we do to keep work down here to support the life we want to live? What a perfect way of describing it, because life is the in-between. It's the in-between of when we came and when we go. And so how do we best live that life that matches what will bring us joy? Because I think it's the people that we remember in the end. It's not how many hours we worked. And so, to your point, if though your work is your one number one priority and that is what you want to focus on, that is everyone's opportunity and permission to do them. The you know, I'm going to go there for 1 second. Because you brought up social media a couple of times, I think the issue becomes where everybody, when you put yourself out there, And then for some reason that invites a lot of feedback. And I think if we could all maybe step back through a wider lens and a longer lens and say, what if they're putting themselves out there, but we don't all have to have an opinion about the way that they're living their lives. And so, unless they're asking for it, but yes, because everyone's situation is different and their story is different. So, but Erica, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I think you're such a light, and I do want to give you a real quick moment to just say, if people want to reach out to you with questions, can you give us an email or a place they can go?
Absolutely. Social media is the best place to grab us. That's, for instance, I love social media. So many business owners don't want anything to do with it. I love it. So I keep a pretty firm hand on that. So you can find us at We Are Ought on Instagram. You can also find us there on Facebook. Weareought.com as well. If your audience is interested, we can send them a quick free copy of the Ought guide as well, the model of success, so that they can work to create their own. And we'd love to welcome you to our wider community in Instagram. Just hop on over so we can support you. We love to cheer women on in whatever it is that they're doing. So part of what has been awesome about this work has been learning the different jobs that are out there, the different businesses that are out there, the ideas that women are bringing to life. It's so fun for us. Yeah.
And I know we are connected on Instagram. And so, yes, I think it's a great, great way to connect and align with businesses and help in feeling supported through a community. So also, before I sign off, first, Erica, I do want to thank you. Yeah. And also, I want to tell our listeners that in the show description, there is a link to a survey that you can fill out just to give us your thoughts, not just about Strong Mind, Strong Body, but about the whole NASM podcast network, because we're here for you. I'm here for you. And if you give me your feedback, then I'm going to take that to heart and I'm going to try to navigate what your needs are and deliver the goods. So you also have an opportunity to win a $100 Amazon gift card if you do take the survey. So thanks to all of our Strong Mind, Strong Body listeners. Thanks to you, Erica Biddix, and we will see you next week.